Love right here on VOA1.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Mario Ritter Jr., Dan Friedel, and Brian Lynn. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, worldwide coronavirus cases passed 100 million Wednesday as countries struggle with new variants of the virus and a limited supply of vaccine. The worst affected countries include the United States, India, Brazil, and those in Europe. More than 2.1 million people have died from COVID-19, based on information from the Johns Hopkins University Coronavirus Center. At this time, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says there is no evidence that new coronavirus variants cause more severe illness or increased risk of death. However, the CDC adds that scientists are still working to understand how easily the new forms might spread. They also want to find out whether they might cause more severe illness or whether currently approved vaccines will protect people against them. Three of the new coronavirus variants were found to have come from three countries: Britain, South Africa, and Brazil.
In Britain, a coronavirus variant known as B117 was first recognized in September 2020. It quickly spread in southern Britain, including London. It has since spread throughout Europe, the United States, and Canada. Health organizations say this variant spreads more easily and quickly than others. But there is no evidence that it causes more severe illness or increased risk of death.
In South Africa, another variant called 501YV2 was found in early October. There have been cases caused by this variant in 20 countries, including Australia and Canada, but not in the U.S. The variant is also known as B1351 and shares some genetic changes similar to the one in Britain. Scientists are concerned that antibodies from a small number of people who had recovered from COVID-19 or received a vaccine were less effective against this variant.
The P1 coronavirus variant was first identified in four travelers from Brazil who were tested at Haneda Airport outside Tokyo in January. The variant, however, could have been around much earlier in Brazil and has spread to many countries, including Germany and South Korea. This week, the U.S. has also confirmed its first case of the variant in Minnesota. The CDC says early evidence shows that antibodies from a coronavirus infection or vaccine might not have the ability to recognize the P1 variant.
Like other viruses, the CDC says SARS-CoV-2, the coronavirus that causes COVID-19, is always changing and has been changing all along. Sometimes new variants appear and disappear. Other times, new variants appear and spread across many countries. Daniel Rhodes is a microbiologist and pathologist with the Cleveland Clinic. He said, "Although this is concerning, it's not really surprising. We've been watching for this and more or less expecting it." Earlier in the pandemic, other variants, including D614G and L452R, appeared. However, the new variants are receiving attention now because they seem to spread more easily and quickly, which may lead to more cases of COVID-19. Another concern is whether approved vaccines, like those from Pfizer and BioNTech or Moderna, could be effective against them. Caitlin Rivers is an epidemiologist at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. She told the Associated Press, "I'm worried that the variants might be throwing us a curveball. That means the variant could present an unexpected and difficult problem." The U.S. government's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, said scientists are studying vaccine measures to deal with the new variants.
The CDC says it is working with other public health agencies to monitor the situation closely and to look for new COVID-19 variants. It also has workers on the ground to study and investigate the new variants. The health agency advises that increasing public health measures, such as vaccination, physical distancing, use of cloth coverings, and hand washing, will help limit the spread of the new variants. On Tuesday, the U.S. announced that it has banned travelers from Europe, Britain, Brazil, Ireland, and South Africa. Other countries on the restricted list include China and Iran. In Europe, Belgium has banned all non-essential travel until March. And France may soon begin a third lockdown if its 12-hour daily curfew does not slow the spread of new infections. I'm Mario Ritter Jr.
In the Netherlands was unhappy that a king is more valuable than a queen in a deck of playing cards. Indy Melink, 23, went to school to study psychology. She wondered if that situation could be changed. She said, "Rating a male higher than a female was just another part of life that makes people think men are more important than women. Some people call this gender inequality. Instead, treating women and men the same, they say, is an example of gender neutrality." Some people might say, it's just a card game. But Melink does not agree. She said, "Even subtle inequalities like this do play a big role in influencing the way the world sees women." So what did she do? Melink thought for a while about how to change the pictures on the cards. After some time, she came up with an idea that most people know because of the Olympics. The most important card would no longer be the king. It would be gold, the next card would be silver, and the third, bronze. For that reason, Melink's cards are now called GSB, which stands for Gold, Silver, Bronze. About 1,500 decks have been sent to buyers around the world. card players involved in product testing said they had never thought about gender inequality in their games before. Changes to the rules of card games that rank the king above the queen may take some time, but some serious players are trying out Melynx cards. Berit van Dovenberg is head of the Dutch Bridge Association. She gave it a try and said she thought it was a good idea to think about gender neutrality. It's great that someone of this age has noticed this. It's the new generation, she said. I'm Dan Friedel.
Boston Dynamics is an American technology company that has developed a series of robots designed to move in ways similar to humans and animals. The company has spent years building robots with useful abilities like walking, moving through rough terrain, and picking things up with their hands. The machines are designed to be used in work settings to perform a number of different tasks. Videos of some of the robots, especially those that look like animals when they move, have been popular on the internet in the past. But the company's latest video to go viral shows a group of robots dancing to the 1962 hit song, Do You Love Me? By the Contours. The video received more than 23 million views during its first week. The performance shows two Boston Dynamics humanoid robots called Atlas, doing several dance moves, such as the twist, the mashed potato, and others. The two are joined by Spot, a dog-like robot, and Handle, a wheeled robot designed for lifting and moving boxes. Speaking to the Associated Press, Boston Dynamics founder and chairperson Mark Raybert admits the video is fun to watch. But he said the real success behind the experiment was the valuable lessons the project taught his team. It turned out that we needed to upgrade the robot in the middle of development, Raybert said. He said that step was necessary in order for the robot to be strong enough and have enough energy to do the whole performance without stopping. So that was a real benefit to the design, he added. The difficulty of teaching robots to dance also pushed Boston Dynamics engineers to develop better motion programming tools. These tools helped the robots do several things at once: balance, bounce, and perform dance moves without breaks. Some social media users who watched the video commented that the robots dancing was so similar to a human that they could not believe their eyes. Some praised the robots' moves and the technology powering them. Others suggested that what they were seeing was probably computer-generated imagery, or CGI. But Raybert said it was all real, the result of long and hard work, fueled by a strong desire to program a robot that could dance to the beat. We wanted it to do human dancing, and when a human dances, The music has a beat, and their whole body moves to it, their hands, their body, their head. Raybert added, it looked like the robot was having fun and really moved with the music. And I think that had a lot to do with the result of the production. The Atlas robots used a wide range of sensors to perform the dance moves, including 28 actuators. These are devices that serve as muscles by converting electronic or physical signals into movement. The robots were also equipped with three powerful computers, including one that processes perception signals and two that control movement. I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. There were many changes in the social customs and day-to-day life of millions of Americans during the administration of President Calvin Coolidge. Many young people began to challenge the traditions of their parents and grandparents. They experimented with new ideas and ways of living. People of all kinds became interested in the new popular culture. Radio and films brought them exciting news of court trials, sports heroes, and wild parties. The 1920s also was one of the most active and important periods for the more serious arts. Writers, painters, and other artists produced some of the greatest work in the nation's history. Kay Gallant and Harry Monroe take a look at American arts during this exciting period.
Most Americans approved strongly of the economic growth and improved living conditions during the 1920s. They supported the conservative Republican policies of President Calvin Coolidge, and they had great faith in the country's business leaders and economic system. However, many of the nation's serious artists had a different and darker view of society. They were troubled deeply by the changes they saw. They believed that Americans had become too interested in money and wealth. These artists rejected the new business society, and they also questioned the value of politics. Many of them believed that the First World War in Europe had been a terrible mistake. These artists had little faith in the political leaders who came to power after the war. They felt a need to protest the way the world was changing around them.
The spirit of protest was especially strong in serious American writing during the 1920s. Many of the greatest writers of this period hated the new business culture. One such writer was Sinclair Lewis. He was the first American to win the Nobel Prize for Literature. Lewis wrote about Americans living in the towns and villages in the central part of the United States. Many of the people in his books were foolish men and women with empty values. They chased after money and popularity. In his famous book, Main Street, Lewis joked about and criticized small-town business owners. Social criticism also was central to the writing of the newspaper writer H. L. Mencken from the eastern city of Baltimore. Mencken considered most Americans to be stupid and violent fools. He attacked their values without mercy. Of course, many traditional Americans reacted strongly to such criticism. For example, some religious and business leaders attacked Mencken as a dangerous person whose words were treason against the United States. But many young people thought Mencken was a hero whose only crime was writing the truth.
The work of Lewis, Mencken, and a number of other writers of the 1920s has been forgotten by many Americans as the years have passed. But the period did produce some truly great writing. One of the greatest writers of these years was Ernest Hemingway. Hemingway wrote about love, war, sports, and other subjects. He used short sentences and rough words. His style was sharper and different from traditional American writing, and his strong views about life set him apart from most other Americans. Another major writer was F. Scott Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald wrote especially about rich Americans searching for happiness and new values. His books were filled with people who rejected traditional beliefs. His book, The Great Gatsby, is considered today to be one of the greatest works in the history of American writing. A third great writer of the 1920s was William Faulkner. Faulkner wrote about the special problems and ways of life in the American South. His books explored the emotional tension in a society still suffering from the loss of the Civil War 60 years before. Some of Faulkner's best books were The Sound and the Fury, As I Lay Dying, and Absalom, Absalom. Like Hemingway, he won the Nobel Prize for Literature.
The 1920s also produced the greatest writer of theater plays in American history, Eugene O'Neill. O'Neill was an Irish-American with a dark and violent view of human nature. His plays used new theatrical methods and ways of presenting ideas, but they carried an emotional power never before seen in the American theater. Some of his best-known plays were Morning Becomes Electra, The Iceman Cometh, and A Long Day's Journey into Night. A number of American writers also produced great poetry during the 1920s. Probably the most famous work was The Wasteland, a poem of sadness by the writer T.S. Eliot.
There also were important changes in American painting during the 1920s. Economic growth gave many Americans the money to buy art for their homes for the first time. 60 new museums opened. Slowly, Americans learned about serious art. Actually, American art had been changing in important ways since the beginning of the century. In 1908, a group of New York artists arranged a historic show. These artists tried to show real life in their paintings. They painted new kinds of subjects. For example, George Bellows painted many emotional and realistic pictures of the sport of boxing. His work and the painting of other realistic artists became known as the Ashcan School of Art. Another important group of modern artists was led by the great photographer Alfred Stieglitz. This group held a major art show in 1913 in New York, Chicago, and Boston. The show presented modern art from Europe. Americans got their first chance to see the work of such painters as Pablo Picasso and Georges Braque. The show caused a huge public debate in the United States. Traditional art critics accused the organizers of the show of trying to overthrow Christianity and American values. Former President Theodore Roosevelt and others denounced the new art as a threat to the country. However, many young American painters and art lovers did not agree. They became very interested in the new art styles from Europe. They studied them closely. Soon, Charles DeMuth, Joseph Stella, and other American painters began to produce excellent art in the new Cubist style. John Marin painted beautiful views of sea coasts in New York and Maine, and such artists as Max Weber and Georgia O'Keeffe painted in styles that seemed to come more from their own imagination than from reality. As with writing, the work of many of these serious modern painters only became popular many years later.
The greatest American designer of buildings during the 1920s was Frank Lloyd Wright. Wright believed that architects should design a building to fit its location, not to copy some ancient style. He used local materials in new ways. Wright invented many imaginative methods to combine useful building design with natural beauty. But again, most Americans did not know of Wright's work. Instead, they turned to local architects with traditional beliefs. These architects generally designed old and safe styles for buildings, for homes, offices, colleges, and other needs.
Writers and artists now look back at the roaring 1920s as an extremely important period that gave birth to many new styles and ideas. Hemingway's style of writing continues to influence American writers. Many painters say the period marked the real birth of modern American art. And architecture students in the United States and other countries now study the buildings of Frank Lloyd Wright. The changes in American society caused many of these artists much sadness and pain in their personal lives. But their expression of protest and rich imagination produced a body of work that has grown in influence with the passing years.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.